Welcome to Dead Souls Social Club.
Good evening, everyone. If you enjoy our show and find our research both interesting and informative, please can I ask that you consider leaving us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform. Something that small really does help us out a huge amount. You can also find out more about us and our work by heading over to deadsouls.co.uk and checking us out. We are a small team of 3 researchers with more than 70 years of experience between us. You can also find us and speak to us over on Instagram. Just search Dead Souls Social Club and we'll come up. So, as always, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This audio presentation contains graphic details of death, violence, and controversial subject matter. Listener discretion is strongly advised. From Dead Souls Media, this is Crop Circles. I'm Jamie Black, a researcher and psychologist, and I'll be your host for tonight. Before we dive into tonight's subject matter, I feel I should add prologue to this episode. That's because I'm sure that just by reading the title of tonight's show, you've already put some prejudgment in your head regarding this topic. This isn't a negative about you guys listening, of course. We all do it. We are confident in what we know and what we have heard and learned. But I want you to bear with me on this one. Yes, we have all heard the stories of how crop circles have been hoaxed and faked for decades. How a phenomenon that was once the darling of the tabloid newspapers and researchers the world over was entirely shattered when claims were made throughout the 1990s of teams of hoaxers faking the circular formations. But what if I told you that the hoax stories were hoaxes? That there is more to the crop circle phenomena than you realize? And how we may very well have been fooled into believing that the circles were all man-made and ignoring hugely world-changing messages for almost 30 years? Sit tight, my friends. On November the 16th, 1974, scientists at the Arecibo Observatory in Puerto Rico, a team led by Frank Drake and Carl Sagan, sent what came to be known as the Arecibo message. A binary-coded radio transmission which contained basic information about humanity and life on Earth. The message was the most powerful interstellar message ever transmitted until that point in time. Its purpose was to communicate with extraterrestrial intelligence, and it was broadcast into a dense cluster of stars called M13 in the constellation of Hercules, some 25,000 light-years from Earth. Whilst many saw this exercise as being purely ceremonial, merely a way to demonstrate new technology in radio astronomy at the time, nobody really expected to receive a reply. Even if we did, it wouldn't be anytime soon, as even travelling at the speed of light, the message would still take at least 25,000 years to arrive at the constellation. The message consisted of 7 parts that formed a vertical digital image. I'll add the image to the Instagram post for this episode. From the top down, those parts were 1. The numbers 1 to 10 from left to right. 2. The atomic numbers of the elements hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and phosphorus, which make up deoxyribonucleic acid, commonly known as human DNA. 3. The formulas for the chemical compounds that make up the nucleotides of human DNA. 4. The estimated number of DNA nucleotides in the human genome and a graphic of the double helix structure of DNA. 5. The dimensions of an average man, a graphic figure of a human being, and the human population of Earth, which was about 4 billion at that time. 6. an image of the solar system, including which of the planets the message is coming from. The sun is on the left, and the third planet, Earth, raised towards the human figure in the section above. And finally, number 7, an image of the Arecibo radio telescope and the dimensions of the transmitting antennae dish. The telescope was tuned to 2,380 MHz, aimed at Hercules, and then sent. The transmission was a success. The message was sent, and the scientists congratulated each other, then went back to work. Then, 27 years later, something very unexpected happened. Someone, or something, replied. And I'd be willing to bet that you never heard anything about it in any government announcement or media broadcast. Back on a foggy January morning in 1966, a banana farmer from Tully in Queensland, Australia, named George Pedley, was out working in his fields. Pedley then heard a strange buzzing noise. He climbed down from his tractor and began to walk in the direction the sound was coming from. He saw a circular metallic craft slowly emerge from some swampland and rise slowly up less than 50 feet from where he was standing. The craft hovered for a few seconds, then shot straight up into the air and vanished. When Pedley went to investigate the ground area where the craft had risen up from, he found a large circle of reeds had been pulled from the swamp and flattened into a round shape. The circle was roughly 30 feet across and 2 feet thick. The reeds were arranged in a clockwise swirl. Because of the swirl shape and the thickness of the reeds, locals called the formation a UFO nest. That's how the local newspapers at the time reported the discovery. But what this was in fact was a crop circle. Since the 1960s onwards, thousands upon thousands of crop circles have been discovered the world over. On every continent, in almost every country. But the epicenter for crop formations is in Wiltshire, southwest England. Why is this? Well, we don't really know. Some people will say that it's because that location sits on a natural ley line and natural earth energy flows through the area, if you believe in such a thing. Others cite the mystical and ancient importance of the area to people such as the Druids as having something to do with it. Both of these suppositions are pure speculation, however. Simply put, your guess is as good as mine. Crop circles range from the extremely simple to the incredibly complex. The formations have been circles, geometric shapes, pictograms, and mathematical objects. Whilst many investigators and scientists who believe the phenomenon to be credible have numerous theories as to their meaning, nobody knows for sure. Every formation is unique, but they do have a few things in common. That each of them are recognizable patterns that are created very quickly and usually at night. The creation of these patterns is always associated with some kind of light, either a beam of light or an orb of light, in or over the field that they are formed in. Crop circles may seem like a new phenomenon that emerged in the 1980s, possibly due to the international press attention that they gained at the time. But there is evidence that they have been appearing for a much longer period of time. The Bishop of Lyon in France, Abogard, wrote about parishioners in the 9th century. Parishioners whom he documented were possibly engaged in devil worship or paganism. He wrote that the parishioners were collecting seeds from a flattened circle in the fields and using them in fertility rituals. They believed that seeds from these circles had magical powers as they had been put there from the glowing white balls that descended from the sky at night and made the circles, they said. In 1686, Robert Plot, a professor of chemistry at Oxford University, wrote about crop circles too. Plot even drew pictures of a couple that had appeared in fields near to his home, and those images appeared in a now well-known historical news pamphlet from the time titled The Mowing Devil or Strange News out of Hertfordshire. Plot said that the circles were formed by a flash of light and once they were formed, animals would refuse to go anywhere near them. A farmer awoke one night where he watched a bright light in his field that he initially thought was fire. When he ran out to investigate, he found a crop circle where the light had been. The image that Plot drew is called the Mowing Devil because the farmer, who alerted Plot to the circle, said that the circle was so neatly mowed that it could not have been done by a mortal man. In 1937, a British science journal reported circles found in a field of barley and even included one of the first photographs taken of a crop circle in 1945. A photo was taken by a balloonist for the RAF Parachute Regiment at the time. Sir Patrick Moore, the famous British astronomer and host of the long-running science television programme The Sky at Night, wrote in the New Scientist magazine that he investigated a crop circle formation in some wheat fields in Troughton Farm in Tewkesbury. He described crop circle features taking the form of circular or elliptical areas in which the wheat had been flattened. There was one very defined 15-yard long by 4.5 broad oval shape. There was evidence of spiral flattening, and there was a circular area in the centre in which the wheat had not been flattened. This was in 1953. Each of these crop circles, and there were many, many more, occurred long before they were first publicised in the late 70s and throughout the 1980s, long before it was a widely known phenomenon. In fact, did you know that in the Book of Enoch, one of the texts that forms part of the ancient Dead Sea Scrolls, there is a description of ball lightning hovering above wheat fields and leaving circular marks on the earth? Even though thousands of circles have been found and many people have claimed to witness them being formed, it wasn't until 1996 that the first formation was caught being created on camera. I bet you've never seen that footage. There's a reason for that, which we will come to in a short while. John Whaley was camping at Oliver's Castle, a large hill in Wiltshire. He was awake and sat around a campfire at around 3 a.m. when a light above a field nearby caught his eye. He grabbed his video camera and captured footage of several small glowing orbs hovering over the field and creating a crop formation. I'll post the video over on our Instagram for you to take a look at. But be quick, there's a strong chance that it might get removed. Researchers can't seem to agree on the meaning behind crop circles, though many do share the belief that they are messages of some kind. Let's jump back to that 1974 communication sent into space from the Arecibo radio telescope, shall we? The message was 1679 binary digits that could be converted to a digital image designed to convey information about civilization here on Earth. On the morning of August 14, 2001, a crop circle formation was discovered in a wheat field next to the Chibolton Observatory near Stockbridge in Hampshire. Now, when you're on the ground, you can tell that you're in a crop circle. You can identify it right away from the unnatural shape. But this particular Chibolton formation had no regular structure and uniformity to it. It was something different. It looked like a mess. It wasn't symmetrical. Nobody could make any sense of it. Then, it was viewed from the air. I will post an image of this crop formation on our Instagram for you to take a look at for yourselves. This formation became known as the Arecibo Answer. The formation uses the same 23 by 73 grid as the message scientists transmitted into space 30 years prior. The top line shows the numbers 1 through 10, but the reply shows silicon as the main element for life and not carbon. The DNA is shown as having a third string. In the center is a humanoid figure, about 4 feet tall with a large head, and the population is roughly 21 billion. Below the figure is a solar system. It shows 3 occupied planets in the system. Then there's another shape that could mean a planet or some other object or structure. On Monday, the 9th of September, 1991, the British newspaper, Today, ran a front page story with the following headline, quote, "The men who conned the world." The article detailed how two retirees in their 60s had confessed to starting the crop circle phenomenon back in 1978. They were named as Doug Bauer and Dave Chorley. Bauer, in the article, comments that the idea came to him one night whilst in the pub. He was living in Queensland in 1966 when the Tully UFO left behind that circle of reeds. Well, Doug thought that it would be fun to trick people into thinking that UFOs were landing in wheat fields in southern England too. So he enlisted the help of his friend Chorley. As you can imagine, the international media picked up on the story, and thus the circle mystery was solved. I bet this is what you have heard is the explanation for crop circles, right? And because of this article, I bet you think that crop circles have been debunked and that they are all a hoax. The circles are nothing more than a couple of old guys playing a prank. Well, that's a kind of disappointing conclusion for almost 50 preceding years of speculation, right? Don't worry, we are just getting started. Chorley and Bauer might have created a few crop circles, but their story has a lot of holes and raises more questions than it supposedly answers. The men demonstrated their circle-making techniques to the press, and the results were interesting, to say the least. You see, a number of the crop formations that they claimed responsibility for, well, they were a lot more precise and accurate than the versions the two men recreated when asked to demonstrate their techniques. In fact, the men were unable to recreate any formations with reliable accuracy when asked by the press on several occasions. Further, a number of these crop circles had appeared in locations all over the world, in locations that neither of these men had ever visited. As an additional point, Chorley's wife also threw shade on the two men's claims as being the responsible parties for many of the crop circles. She said that her husband only went out with his friend one night a week on a Friday and was always home by 11 when the pub closed. These formations across the country and wider world certainly never all happened on Friday nights only, and not always before 11 p.m. either, for that matter. Chorley and Bauer's formations were out of alignment, and most crop formations, even back then, were far more precise. During one demonstration for a news crew, Bauer attempted to reproduce one of the circles and accidentally made it twice as big as it should have been. Then he just gave up on making it. In another demonstration, he was asked to just make a simple circular formation, nothing too jazzy or complicated. The finished product was a slightly off elliptical mess, and not even all of the wheat had been firmly fixed down. Their story also changed over time. They said they started making circles in 1976. Then they changed it to 1975 when photographs of circles emerged from that year. Then, in later interviews, they changed the year they began to 1978. They never could agree on the year that they actually began their brand of hoax. They also made several claims in relation to formations they created, then recanted on those claims. So much so that a number of reporters from the time reporting on the hoax even started to doubt the reliability of their accounts altogether. Bauer and Chorley even went as far as saying that they created the now famous 1983 crop formation named the Chesfoot Head Circle. It's a random name. It's named after the place in England where it appeared, Chesfoot Head near Winchester. Bauer showed the Sun newspaper a diagram of his plans for the formation, and his diagram included footpaths to the circle. But the actual circle had no access paths created. It had no disturbances leading to the circle from outside of the field whatsoever. When the reporter from the Sun newspaper asked how they created the circle without making tracks into the circle, Bauer said, and I quote, "We pole vaulted into the field from several fields away." I'm passing no judgment here, but Bauer and Chorley were men in their mid-60s who would have also been carrying a number of tools and utensils at the time. So, did Doug Bauer and Dave Chorley create some crop circles? Sure, without a doubt. But as I stated, when the pair came forward with their hot claims, roughly 1,500 crop circles had been identified and reported in more than 23 countries. These two men just simply couldn't be responsible for even 10% of those for multiple reasons. Their locations, the expertise needed, evidence of them being elsewhere, and so on. So, is there a scientific way to tell if a crop circle is genuine or not? Well, actually, there is. A really simple way is to look and see if there are tracks leading to the circle from outside of the field. These formations often appear in wheat, corn, or barley fields that are packed so tight with crops that any disturbance by people walking into the field would leave telltale track marks. Crop circles often appear in fields and leave no obvious signs that a person has accessed the field at all. But there is a more scientific telltale sign too, and one that can't be hidden by expert pole vaulters. Let's take a closer look at the plants themselves. Simply put, man-made crop circles, which are created by humans flattening plants with wooden boards, are destructive to the plants themselves. Cracks and bruises in the stalks on the ground are created and cannot be healed or repaired. The crushed plants look messy, jagged, and broken. There will also be bruising on the side of the plant that was stomped or crushed by the wooden plank used to flatten it. Genuine crop circles don't look like this, or show any kind of damage at all. The lay of the pattern will flow like water firstly, almost like the crops have been neatly woven or knitted. There appears an elegance in the crop folding. The stalks are layered and braided. Additionally, in crop circles, the plants aren't damaged. They will continue to grow horizontally, and after a few days, will return to their upright positions. A group of clumsy men with wooden boards simply could not do this. A number of teams over the years have tried, and all have failed. In the late summer months, when wheat turns gold, the kernels become heavy and bend over from the weight. They also become stiff and are impossible to straighten. But the wheat within a legit crop circle, well, the kernels have been perfectly straightened and can't be bent. Scientists found only one way to replicate this: by lightly radiating the wheat stems. Wheat stems are separated by structures called apical nodes. These are sort of like knuckles in the stalks of the plants. William Levengood, an American biophysicist from Michigan, started analyzing the plants taken from crop circles in the early 1990s. He found the nodes in crop circle wheat had been elongated, and in many cases they were ruptured into something called an expulsion cavity. As I stated, the only way this could be replicated is with bursts of microwave radiation. To put it bluntly, you can't fake or hoax this. The microwave radiation would have to occur within the plant internally. Now, it's fair to say that the elongated nodes and growth rates of wheat could be a coincidence. But skeptics, how do you explain this? To further throw shade on the skeptics' argument, there exists something called ghost formations. These are essentially crop circles that have been cleared and the field has been ploughed, and several harvest seasons have passed, yet the crop circle is still burned into the field. What I mean by that is that the outline of the circle is still visible in the ground, like a shadow remnant of the crop circle left behind. This simply cannot happen if the circle was man-made. It also adds further mystique to the radiation angle of the phenomenon. A study was done in the summer of 2001. And of all the crop circles in southern England found that specific year, the study showed that 98% of all non-man-made formations were sat over chalk aquifers. A chalk aquifer is a major underground water resource that occurs naturally in southern and eastern England. It is a white limestone cluster with a low matrix permeability, which displays a busy network of fractures allowing for water storage and movement. And did you know that chalk aquifers can be used for generating electricity? Things keep harking back to electromagnetism, don't they? Silbury Hill is a man-made hill that was built thousands of years ago from chalk. It's roughly 129 feet in height and about 5 acres in circumference. Scientists, historians, and geologists can't seem to agree on what it originally was created or used for. But with that said, every year, crop circles appear next to it, like clockwork. Like I said, the entire hill is a giant chalk mound. Now, chalk itself isn't directly related to electromagnetism, but researchers have explored combining acoustic and electromagnetic properties in the formation of unique electromagnetic properties not seen in any other natural rock. On Sunday, the 7th of July, 1996, a crop formation appeared next to Stonehenge in Wiltshire. It is one of the most complex and spectacular crop circle designs ever seen. The design is what's known as a Julia set, a type of mathematical fractal. Fractals are visual representations of mathematical formulas that repeat themselves at different scales. I'll add the Julia set crop circle image to our Instagram for you to take a look at. Stonehenge has 24-hour security. The on-site guard saw nothing unusual the night the formation was made, nor were there any intruders identified in the area. Look at the image of the Julia set. This could not possibly have been made by a few men with boards in one night. The formation is too large, intricate, and detailed. If crop formations are an attempt at communication, whoever is communicating is clearly using mathematical concepts, and this would make complete sense. Math is the universe's universal language. Mathematics crosses cultures, communication styles, and is the same at the bottom of your garden as it is on the other side of the universe. It's the one constant. But what do the messages mean? What story are they trying to tell? Are crop formations proof of life outside our own planet? Are crop formations a map? Or are they blueprints for a machine? Well, the answer to all of these questions, simply put, is yes. Over the years, crop formations have gotten more and more complex. What started out as simple circles have evolved into complex mathematical fractals. While circles are arguably easy enough to fake, it would take a huge team of people to lay down some of the more complex formations that we see today, let alone in just a few short hours overnight. Fractals are a common theme with crop circles. Geometric shapes and other expressions of mathematical functions are also quite common. Even complex math problems are expressed. Squaring the circle, the golden ratio, pi to more than 10 decimal places, and Fibonacci numbers are just some of the mathematical concepts seen used within crop formations. But there are also designs that, at first glance, look like geometry, but are not exactly correct. That's when some researchers and scientists had the idea to stop looking and start listening. Cymatic patterns are identified in crop formations. A cymatic pattern is a shape that forms when sound waves vibrate through a material like water or sand. Cymatic patterns were first documented by the German physicist and musician Ernst Chladni in the early 19th century. Chladni proved that different sound frequencies create different patterns, and these patterns could be predicted and repeated. Remember when I mentioned that chalk contains unique acoustic and electromagnetic properties? And that crop formations regularly appear over chalk deposits? Well, could the builder of certain crop circles be telling us that certain sound frequencies have special meaning, like an audio map? In 2011, a double spiral crop formation appeared on Windmill Hill in East Sussex, England. It happens to be another ancient ceremonial site, much like Stonehenge. The exact same day, another double spiral appeared near Stonehenge in Wiltshire, 143 miles away. Dr. Jerry Croth, an associate professor and chairman of the Graduate Division of Psychology at the University of Santa Clara, posed a theory whereby he thought these formations could possibly represent neutron stars. Although incredibly rare, when neutron stars collide, they form a magnetar. And what makes magnetars unique is their incredibly strong magnetic fields. Fields which are among the strongest known magnetic fields in the entire universe. These fields are thousands of times stronger than those of neutron stars alone. In fact, a magnetar's gravity is so strong that it significantly warps space-time around it. The warping of space-time could impact gravity and lead to the creation of an Einstein-Rosen bridge. In layman's terms, a black hole. Black holes, or wormholes, are believed to connect two different points in space, thus creating a bridge between two distant points that can be crossed in an instant. Magnetars are so rare that in the entire galaxy, only 10 have ever been found. Although they do exist. Want to know something really interesting? And don't take my word for this. Look it up yourselves. The very next day, after the crop formations appeared in 2011, a brand new magnetar appeared, making it only the 11th one ever discovered. Now, I'm not talking discovered. It's not like it was always there and scientists just came across it the next day in a crazy coincidence. No. I mean, it wasn't there the day before, and it literally formed the following day. I shit you not. Crop circles are a controversial subject matter. They are one of those enduring mysteries that have been around for so long that people just don't take the subject of them very seriously. They dismiss any talk of them and assume it's hokum, a hoax that was debunked a long time ago. And no matter how much evidence and scientific data you share with them, nothing can ever convince those people that there is more to the crop circle phenomenon than their already preconceived ideas and thoughts. The history of crop circles is filled with intrigue, lies and double crosses, and I fear the waters have now been permanently muddied. But I really think it's worth giving the formations another pass. There is enough evidence here to justify and warrant it. At one time, crop formations were taken seriously by the media, the government, and the general population. And as quickly as a series of articles could be published about Doug Bauer and Dave Chorley faking it all credibility in the subject died off almost overnight. Nick Pope spent more than 20 years investigating UFOs for the UK's Ministry of Defence. Pope confirmed that the British Army started investigating crop circles back in 1985. In fact, there are documents that show the then Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher asking her cabinet to find out what the crop circle hysteria was all about. And so, in July 1986, Operation Blackbird was launched. Operation Blackbird was a three-week surveillance operation conducted by British Army intelligence. On the surface, it appeared that the Army were working alongside the BBC, Japanese Nippon TV, and two of the UK's leading crop circle experts, Colin Andrews and Pat Delgado. Significant media interest buzzed around the project, and the military provided the television and research crew with state-of-the-art technology to support the operation. The project had the blessing of the British government too. For clarity, Colin Andrews is a highly respected and well-educated electrical engineer who, during the late 1980s, became the world's leading expert on the crop circle phenomenon and the research that went into the subject. Anyway, the media and research crew, along with the military, set up detailed and complex surveillance of a field where they hoped to capture crop circle formation phenomenon as it happened. No members of the public could get anywhere near the field. It was completely locked down, tighter than Fort Knox. Every inch of the field was also covered with cameras, both regular and infrared, tripwires, sensors, heat signature equipment, radar surveillance, and motion sensor technology. If a circle was going to form, it would definitely be witnessed and caught on camera as part of the operation. On the second day of the operation, as hoped, a crop circle appeared. The military immediately alerted Colin Andrews and Pat Delgado, who rushed to the location. This would be a historic moment. At the urging of the British Army, the two experts went on international television and exclaimed that concrete evidence of a crop circle formation had been obtained and hard evidence was caught on camera. Andrews spoke very enthusiastically about the discovery on television, which aired in more than 100 countries. Then it all came to an embarrassing end. The formation was a hoax. The design was crude, poorly made, and an obvious fake man-made formation. To add insult to injury, placed in the center of the circle was an astrology board game and a wooden Celtic cross. Colin Andrews' reputation as a serious investigator was in tatters. He was humiliated and his credibility and career ended almost overnight. But evidence later emerged in the form of declassified military records and retired military personnel who later came forward and confirmed that the entire operation was a setup. The British Army Intelligence Unit had intentionally discredited Andrews and Delgado and thus destroyed any credibility of the entire crop circle phenomenon. That was the real mission. That didn't mean the military didn't believe in crop formations, of course. Far from it. You see, one thing the British government and military has always been really good at, much like their American allies, is covering up the UFO phenomenon and playing really dumb. The UK government has always officially and publicly denied having any knowledge or interest in the subject of UFOs and all that's linked to that subject matter. In fact, between August 1996 and November 2024, I have written to the UK Ministry of Defence, Office of the UK Prime Minister, the House of Commons, the House of Lords, MI5, GCHQ, and my local MP, exactly 74 times requested information, data, evidence, and clarity on a number of areas linked to the UFO phenomenon. I have submitted more than 50 Freedom of Information requests. And on every single occasion, I received the exact same response. The UK government and armed forces do not collect, research, or have an interest in the subject of UFOs, extraterrestrials, or any similar subject matter. I keep the letters in a folder. They're all the exact same template, no matter who I write to. I think the UK government must have a standard member of the public rebuff package on their desktop computers somewhere. But we know from whistleblowers and declassified documents that this is a complete smokescreen. And not just a smokescreen. Something which they actively engage in disinformation tactics over. Clearly the military believes the crop formations are something more than simple hoaxes. But none of this matters now. The military has achieved what they intended to make the whole subject matter a joke in the public eye. In 1973, details began to emerge about a US intelligence program called Operation Mockingbird. This was a project where over 400 American journalists were working as direct assets for the Central Intelligence Agency. The Washington Post reporter Carl Bernstein exposed how at least 10 journalists and editors at the New York Times were actually undercover CIA operatives and had been operating as such for a number of years. Whilst this was exposed as commonplace in the US in the 1970s, it never really stopped. You're likely very aware that it's common practice for the CIA to use journalists as assets. The same goes for the UK's MI5 and MI6 too. It's actually more common than people realise. Free press is questionable, even in the most quote-unquote free countries. You see, people openly talk to journalists. They see them as legitimate inquirers. So a journalist is a very useful person for intelligence services at collecting intel. People also listen to journalists, despite what many will say. Journalists are great at spreading disinformation. Most people absorb what the media and news put out, whether they realize it or not. More often than not, a media message becomes cultural and societal, so it's difficult to not take a widespread message on board. It's the crux of propaganda reliability. Colin Andrews recalls how even though the researchers involved in the very small crop circle scene of the early 1990s were approached by what were quite obviously intelligence operatives. Andrews remembers a man, who we will refer to anonymously here as Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones claimed to have seen a crop circle being formed while he was out of an evening studying, as he claims, foxes. Jones used this story as a cover, a way of being accepted by the crop circle researcher scene. Jones became a regular face at researcher meetups and at locations where new crop circles would appear. Jones became known amongst all the crop circle scene, But a few weeks later, Jones knocked on Colin Andrews' front door late one night. Andrews had no idea how he knew where he lived. The two men went out for a walk, and Jones began to ask Colin question upon question about crop circles, their locations, what he thinks they are, how he interprets their meaning, and dozens more. It felt like a bit of an interrogation, Colin said. Colin started to get annoyed, however, when Jones kept asking Colin if he thought the Russians were involved and what the Russians might know about crop circles themselves. Following several visits to Colin, always unannounced, Jones told him that there was a large amount of money waiting for him in a Swiss bank account if he wanted it. All he had to do was state publicly that crop circles were a complete hoax. Jones told Colin that he could continue researching the crop formations all he wanted. In fact, the CIA would help him become a hugely successful and world-renowned crop circle expert. They would even allocate Colin a budget, he said. There was one caveat to this offer, however. When Colin discovered a real crop formation, he was to call Mr. Jones and nobody else. Colin Andrews ultimately passed on the offer, as he didn't trust Jones in the slightest. Also, it's not like it would have been the first time he'd ever been burnt by intelligence services. The intelligence community does not want you to know the truth about crop circles, UFOs, secret space programs, or alien technology. That's a cold, hard fact. Millions, perhaps billions of dollars are put into black budget programs annually, and the disinformation procedures that support said black projects are designed to distract and confuse you from the truth. Over the last decade, we have slowly got closer to obtaining what we hope will be disclosure. But I think, and with all honesty, that we are no closer to disclosure now than we were 50 or even 100 years ago. The global governments are never going to openly share with the people what they know about UFOs, extraterrestrial life, or any other such subjects, purely because those subjects are loaded with power and knowledge. And those people in control will never willingly give that up to the masses. The only way we will ever truly know the truth is if we discover it and take it for ourselves. And to do that, we have to embrace the signs and evidence that is all around us. Crop circles are some of that evidence, and it's out in the open, staring right back at us. We can either embrace it or continue to wonder where all the signs of intelligent life are. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show tonight. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform and subscribe to our show so that you never miss an episode. Our shows aren't sponsored by any company or corporation, so any support you can give us goes a long way in supporting the work that we do. From all of us here at Dead Souls, sleep tight.